Alright, so
Sam.
You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
The Auschamp podcast. Oh wow, I really am stuffing this up. Podcast.
You're listening to the Auschamp podcast.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Auschamp podcast, where we speak to some of the most interesting business people in China about all the exciting opportunities and challenges this country has to offer. I'm Luke Pegram and...
I'm Susanna Su. Welcome to the podcast.
So today we talk to Alex Worker, a Kiwi working for dairy giant Fonterra.
So Alex grew up all over the world and he followed his diplomat father from China, Argentina to Fiji and many more countries before he settled back down in New Zealand and studied business at the University of Otago and the University of Auckland.
But after a few years working for Fonterra in New Zealand, he got an opportunity to come to China and study an MBA at Tsinghua.
Yeah, so he did that in order to gain a better understanding of the consumer market in China. And so now he's set up a really interesting new venture called The Hatchery. He's co-founded it to launch a series of restaurant incubators.
It's like a culinary incubator, right? So it's a place for people with great ideas for a restaurant to come and give it a run and develop their concepts. And it's really sort of a new, exciting concept. And so far, it's going well.
Yeah, so funnily enough, this idea was conceived of over a couple of drinks with his mates. Let's hear from Alex.
With food, you need a taste, touch, experience, and that has to be done in person, right? So first and foremost, we started doing pop-ups. And we started, that was just over 14, 16 months ago, with an idea to do a pop-up pisco and ceviche bar. And that was really from a couple of pisco-fueled evenings where we had myself and two other colleagues who started the pop-up bar. We're all former students of Tsinghua, and we were drunk on our friend's dad's pisco and realised that, hey, this is a great brandy, and we knew Peruvian food was pretty hot in the US and in UK and elsewhere, and we knew that Japanese sashimi, and there was now, you know, great suppliers of raw fish into Beijing, and that a lot of that education piece had been done around raw fish. So, and we knew that Peru's got, you know, something going for it in terms of cuisine, and then we thought, well, let's back that with great pisco and then get to a point where let's open a bar. And then going through that whole process, we realized, you know, this is a good idea, but how do you execute it? None of us had food and beverage operation experience in Beijing. None of us knew ultimately what it took to set up a bar, hire people, go through all the licensing. And so there's all these natural barriers that you're faced with, particularly as a foreigner coming into a city like Beijing, working out where you fit in and working out, you know, what you need to do without getting ripped off.
So these pop-up bars, they were a bit of a learning curve, a bit of a learning experience without too much of the, like, long-term commitment and risk.
Yeah, spot on. Pop-ups, you know, again, it's a trend that's kind of following farm-to-table trends around the world at the moment, where local communities are willing to support local entrepreneurs, and I think increasingly governments, local governments, are a lot more supportive of local entrepreneurs wanting to use local ingredients and tell local stories. And we kind of see the same dynamic and opportunity in Beijing, where ultimately, you've got a lot of red tape, but you've got people now that are choosing to be in Beijing, where, you know, whether through their working or personal lives, they could be in lots of other cities around the world. So Beijing's increasingly global. It's still, you know, China for Chinese, and you've got the five-star hotels that sell a lot of great food that's imported, but it's all really expensive. And then you've got a lot of local providers that produce great tasting local cuisine, but there's always an element, particularly down at the lower price thresholds, around food safety and not understanding that supply chain between, you know, the ingredients. So we knew that there was a point around medium high, like where you want to go and have a nice snack or a nice drink, catch up with friends, do it in Beijing, but has still benchmarked at international levels of quality and at everyday pricing. So the pop-up was a great way for us to kind of test an idea, and then we found a really supportive partner by way of Cafe Flat White. The owner of that is a Chinese New Zealander, and he's always struggling with the idea of how do you flip a cafe in the evenings to attract a different clientele, because otherwise, you know, you can only have so many coffees and paninis during a day. And so we kind of went to him with the proposal, and thankfully he was really supportive of it, so that we'll pay him a bit of rent. We'll be able to use one of his new premises down in Huamao, which is quite a trendy area in East Beijing, right underneath a whole bunch of corporate and office towers and next to a couple of hotels. And to pop up the Buena Onda, the Pisco and Ceviche bar, for 6 nights a week. That went really well for 6 months. And then through that process, we kind of, I suppose, learned about that the model, particularly from an operations perspective. And Beijing, particularly the expat crowd, and increasingly then the friends of the expat community who are, you know, locals or international Chinese, return Chinese that are interested in new things and that saw that, you know, we're doing a decent job. They were really supportive of what we're doing. And so using that pop-up premise, we did another one under a different concept with Bookworm, and then we realised there's real opportunity for food and beverage entrepreneurs in Beijing, whether local or international, but how do you provide a platform to allow more ideas to be validated and tested, and then how do you support those winning ideas to grow as efficiently, effectively as possible. And we actually first started off by realising that we needed a central kitchen, that if we're going to scale more pop-ups, we needed kind of like a headquarters that you could bring, you know, your consumers or B2B partners, suppliers into, and to see that you run your kitchen really well, and that you've got enough infrastructure to scale around. There was an opportunity with actually an Australian Chinese partners who are currently in our first location, Gary and Cassie. There was also an unused former Chinese restaurant space around this kitchen that was around 300 square metres, and there was also potential to kind of use that. And then that kind of really set us off on this idea of both kind of, you know, central kitchen and have this kind of a real restaurant or destination space where you can, you know, pop up and maybe up to, you know, 3 to 4 different concepts at any one time, and consumers would actually come into the space to try, you know, the goods or the concepts of the, you know, the various groups. And so that's really the hatchery is. It's a platform to support food and beverage entrepreneurs, either producing great products or great concepts to test in front of a real community of consumers in Beijing.
So obviously there's an expat market, and then you've got the domestic market as well. How do you aim at working towards both of those?
So we were really clear when we launched our physical location, and with F&B, I probably can't stress enough, it's really important to have a physical space. You need to be as close to the consumer, and you've got to own the channel. So our hatchery, our physical location in Tuanjiahu and Sanlitun, is our physical space to really prove and help validate our incubator model. And what we realised was, to really do that, we're going to have to do a lot of destination marketing, because our space isn't on the right side of the third ring road. It's on the outer side, which you get enough foot traffic coming out of the subway, but you still have to pull people into your space. You know, it's hidden. So, and when we were devising our, you know, marketing strategy and working for a really sharp Australian guy called Andrew Mu as our marketing manager, we were pretty clear on the fact that we're going to launch and to build up a word of mouth following, and particularly because our vision is to share the world's flavours with China, that needs to be in English, and it needs to be benchmarked to international quality levels and standards that you'd expect in New York or LA or London or Sydney. So we actively decided that we were going to launch all our marketing in English, because ultimately the consumers that we first need to kind of win over were expats, And also were Chinese that are educated and speak English and travel. And so it was really that cluster in San Le Tun that we really have tried to target. And I think we've done a decent job. There's a lot more we can do. But I think, you know, I'd recommend to anyone trying to kind of kick off here is leverage your strengths and leverage your comparative advantage as where you can compete. And so in English marketing, that's definitely a space that we felt comfortable in. And then I think kind of naturally, as you grow, your word of mouth circle is in English, but of course if we're really going to win and if Hatchery is really going to be successful, it has to be Chinese, and we have to market in Chinese, and we have to be understood by Chinese consumers and Beijing consumers. So naturally then kind of swings from marketing 100% in English to going to bilingual, and now we're starting to, you know, hire Chinese marketing managers and Chinese PR support to really build understanding of Hatchery as the first as a destination in Chinese and then as an incubator. I think it's been really important for us to understand that because we're dealing with such a new model here. We need to get the consumer there that just wants to eat delicious food and have a double win in the sense that if they get good food at a good price, but also those concepts keep changing so they have great excuse to go back. And then there's a community around that space where they actually like either meeting new people or catching up with friends or seeing kind of, you know, that 1+1 network people that we have mutual people in contact. They're also getting, you know, added benefits out of kind of, you know, returning to a space before focusing on what an incubator is. And you really need, you know, a little bit of momentum around that word of mouth circle and then that plus one before you can really start tapping into ideas from that community around, hey, you know, we're actually trying to do all this to get channel great ideas from you to put through this platform. And I think as we grow, our job is then to help people succeed or fail. I don't think you can underemphasize the failure piece. You know, if you do that quickly and you don't lose too much money, I think that's a good thing. So you can succeed or fail as, you know, quickly as possible. And if you're popping up in Hatchery, that's usually for around 3 months. And then I think as we can kind of then position ourselves as an incubator, is then our job is really going to turn to matching interest from, you know, maybe property developers or investors or that Hatchery community who really want to support their favourite concepts to see them stand on their own two legs, either in Beijing or elsewhere across China or even outside of China.
Alex, could you tell us more about the dynamics of your team and how important that is to running an incubation business?
Good question. I think team is everything. From a management team perspective, I've got a co-founder, Stu, and we've been in it from the start. And very quickly, I think we've tried to build up a team of young people that are really passionate around what we're doing. And so, you know, it starts with food, but then also passionate about building systems and processes around what we're doing, and then to really train up a bunch of people under them to really help, you know, pull things off. So in the case of Hatchery, our management team, we've got a couple of Australians, a couple of Kiwis, a couple of Singaporean Brits, as well as some great Chinese members on board. And I think it's really, you know, that balance of perspectives, backgrounds, and also I think, you know, putting that word, you know, respect in the middle, where you actually kind of ultimately bounce off each other, enjoy each other's different lenses, and then how quickly you can channel those differences into, you know, shared alignment on strategy, planning, and then implementation. I think it's ultimately is something at Hatchery that we're really trying to promote and foster. So yeah, team's everything. Having a variety of perspectives is also really helpful, but then also balancing, you know, what you know or what you're taught in Australia or elsewhere, and leveraging, you know, that understanding and then learning how to apply it in, you know, in a Beijing or a China context, I think is equally as important, because, you know, there's a lot of things that are done here due to, you know, cultural custom, but equally, you know, Beijing and China, things are changing really quickly here. So I think it's been it's listening with your ears to the ground, but also understanding where to leverage, you know, your understanding from home or your identity, and then to, you know, mix that with local needs and requirements to really, you know, create, I think, a dynamic that keeps a lot of people happy. So yeah, team's really important. And then I think in food and beverage, you can't underestimate how important people are, and the training and systems around creating a pipeline of opportunity for people, you know, starting off as, let's say, a dishwasher or a chef hand, and providing them direction as also kind of transparency around potential upside when joining. And I think that's what's quite cool about Hatchery, is because you're ultimately trying to be a platform to facilitate entrepreneurs meeting property developers. There is a lot of potential opportunity for Hatchery team members, but as well as people from the community that like hanging around Hatchery, to either learn about new business ideas, but also to kind of see which ideas take off. And I think part of, you know, Stu and my co-founder and my jobs is to really create, you know, processes and systems around those expectations for development, both, you know, internally and within our community. So, you know, people that be starting today, in 2 years, could they, through the Hatchery program, be setting up their own restaurants that they've actually incubated that idea or met their partners through Hatchery and then gone off to do their own things? And I think, you know, that's really exciting, but I think it's also, that's, you know, fundamentally, you know, my role and our management team's role to provide that system and those processes around that system for them to be able to achieve that.
Is it usually individuals, or you have teams coming to you already who are very sure on what they want to do with their idea?
Good question. For us, it's still early days. So we knew we needed to position ourselves as a destination and then to help Beijing understand us as an incubator. We're still probably in that incubator positioning phase, but we've held a couple of competitions and we're really pleasantly surprised as to how much demand there is out there from entrepreneurs seeking an opportunity to test and validate their food and beverage ideas. We ran one competition last month and we had 18 different business plans come back to us, which was just staggering. We were probably expecting probably more around, you know, three to six. And then we were faced with that task of actually going through all the different business plans and then selecting the top three, which we then kind of sat down and had a feedback session around. So I think the demand's out there. It's really now just how do we set ourselves up and within the community to really help take on as many of those ideas as possible, and then put that through a system of, you know, which ones you take on and when, and how do you, you know, again, put a transparent process around that so people do feel incentivized to share their ideas, but equally know that once they've shared them, no one else is going to go and rip them off. But also that then they can kind of get follow-up around those ideas, get some coaching. And so we're looking at developing a mentoring program pretty soon. We have this system that we call Hatch Track, and it's kind of, you know, Hatchery, Hatch, and then these different gates that we call tracks. And so we've got four tracks, and the first one's pretty much that first piece, business plan and a bit of coaching. And then if you get through that track, you then what we call track two, and that's essentially you go into Hatchery and you spend time. Usually we kind of think that process should take somewhere between 2 and 6 weeks to build your menus, validate your consumers or who your target consumers are, work out your pricing, your COGS, understand your marketing strategy, and get support from our management team through this whole process. And then at the end of track two, we actually have a testing system that we're developing at the moment that you bring in your based on focus groups. So you bring in your target consumers and you run through like the whole menu as pretty much like a trial night. And with their feedback, and only with their positive feedback, I think we're sitting at around a pass would at least probably be a 60%. Maybe you might even, you know, have to be more selective over time and get that up to 70%. Do you then have the opportunity to go into track three, which is actually popping up for 3 months at Hatchery, or popping up in time at one of Hatchery's destinations around Beijing or elsewhere? So it could be pretty cool. Like, you know, as long as there's a transparent process where entrepreneurs kind of know that their ideas are protected, but there's also like an easy to understand, you know, track system for them to work through and to get support from. Then we feel, you know, you could really maybe start scaling the number of entrepreneurs you can bring in at maybe our first physical location here, but over time at, you know, having partner destinations that might want to take on their idea for 3 months, just like, you know, our first partner at the Cafe Flat White Group. Maybe, you know, he's got 10 cafes. What's to say that he can't have 10 different entrepreneurs if they're meeting a certain level of quality ready for, you know, the real world to actually pop up at his different locations? So we think like the upside is really exciting, but it's probably now for us just to really work on again a few trials. And so we're moving into our second proper entrepreneurial group now, as well as looking what we need now and what we need to do in 6 months to really, you know, to be able to scale up to meet that real demand that we know is out there.
Well, we're running out of time, so why don't you give us a bit of a rundown on what we can expect if we drop into Hatchery at the moment?
So Hatchery at the moment in the daytime has Soul Bowls, which is like a health brunch concept based on superfoods and then deliciously balanced treats, particularly if you're kind of, you know, trying to be healthy one day and then battle a hangover the next. And then in the evening we're doing Buena Onda, which is that first concept, our Peruvian pisco and ceviche bar that we've kind of relaunched at Hatchery with a wider menu. And we really think that, you know, this concept's ready to then kind of remove into being a standalone restaurant. And then we're also looking forward to having our first entrepreneurs pop up in the space soon, Pylicious, and they're doing a fast casual pizza concept. They're a bunch of really smart Chinese American guys that have come back to Beijing with this great growing American pizza model. And we've also got IF Juices, so they do natural fresh juice and ice blocks, doing some manufacturing in our kitchen at the moment, as well as Yayo, Beijing's first coconut yogurt.
Well, thanks for chatting to us today, Alex. Good luck with Hatchery and all the best.
Really appreciate it. And just a quick shout out to the team at OzCham. Really, really like what you guys are doing here in Beijing and back in Australia. And if you can see more smart, bright Australians over in Beijing and across China doing cool things between Australia and China, and maybe bringing on New Zealand for the ride, that'd be a great thing. So thank you very much.